My name is Erica Fishman. I'm the Asthma Program Coordinator at the Minnesota Department of Health. My background is in social work and public health, and my passion for public health comes from its grounding in epidemiology and its focus on social justice. I have no personal relationships to disclose. Asthma is a chronic disease that cannot be cured. It represents a major public health problem in the United States. Asthma can range from mild to severe. It's the third leading cause of hospitalizations in children under 15, and it's associated with missed school days, missed work days, disrupted sleep, and symptoms that interfere with physical activity. It can be fatal, and it disproportionately impacts women, children, and the poor. A variety of factors can trigger an asthma episode or attack, such as viral infections, allergens like pollen and dust mites, irritants like secondhand smoke and air pollution, and other factors like stress. However, asthma can be effectively controlled with comprehensive care that includes both medical and environmental management techniques. The importance of this holistic approach to asthma management was elevated to the forefront when the National Asthma Guidelines were released in 2007, and again in February 2008 when CDC released a community guide on home-based multi-trigger, multi-component interventions. So it moved from being just a medical model into more of a public health model. Home visits provide an ideal setting to educate patients about asthma, review medication plans, teach self-management skills, and help families identify environmental factors in the homes that may contribute to their inability to control their asthma. Being in the home allows the public health nurse to see things that the clients might not tell them. For example, they might ask the patient if they have medications and if they use them, and they'd say yes, but then when they ask them to produce them, they can't find them. It also provides them with the opportunity to actually demonstrate how they can vacuum and also ways that they can store their foods and clean up in their kitchen. The project I'm going to be talking about was Communities Reducing Environmental Triggers of Asthma, or CREDA. It was implemented between 2008 and 2009. The Minnesota Department of Health received a small grant from a private foundation, the Beverly Foundation, to implement this. And our staff time at the health department was contributed in kind through our CDC Addressing Asthma from a Public Health Perspective grant and also Preventive Block grant funding. Minnesota had implemented several successful home visiting projects in urban areas using a respiratory therapist. CREDA's goal was to ascertain if similar success could result if the program was implemented in different geographic areas. We had a rural, suburban, and tribal nation, and using public health nurses. This would support efforts to develop the capacity for asthma home visiting statewide throughout Minnesota. And as most of you that public health nurses know, this is really important because the public health nurses are at the front line of delivering home visiting services in Minnesota and a lot of other states. The intervention model had three main components. One was the in-home education emphasizing the proper medical management of asthma and environmental concerns contributing to asthma. The second one was the environmental assessment of the home to identify potential asthma triggers. And the third was to provide low-cost product interventions that are tailored to the child's environmental triggers of asthma and household conditions. It was multi-component and it involved trained personnel. The education occurred simultaneously with the assessments. The project was evidence-informed in that the activities are consistent with the national guidelines and literature, but they're enhanced by practice. Minnesota Department of Health had several responsibilities. These included to facilitate monthly conference calls with the local public health agencies, provide technical assistance as needed, meet with our contracted evaluator, process invoices, and keep in contact with the funding agency. Although, because it was a private foundation, we didn't have very much contact that needed to be done. Local public health agency also had responsibilities. They included participate in training, accept and screen program referrals, schedule home visits, conduct health and home assessment, provide education and products, collect data on behalf of their agency, and submit data to the contracted evaluator. The training consisted was developed for the public health nurses. And the nurses, because they were already skilled at conducting home visits, the training related more toward asthma and asthma management. They were trained, there are two parts to the training. They participated in an asthma educator course provided by the American Lung Association, and this trained them in the asthma management techniques. And then Pediatric Home Service, which was the company that employed the respiratory therapist in our previous projects, we employed her, and she conducted field training for each agency. So they followed her around on home visits, and then she watched them do the home visits. The just an addition to this was that we trained the public health nurses in a fax referral system for smoking cessation services that we have in Minnesota to make direct referrals to quit smoking lines when they're in the home. So one of the things I said on previous slides that the public health's responsibility was to accept and screen for referrals, but they also had to find the referrals. The referrals came from providers. They were self-referred from friends. They might have already been on the public health nurse caseload. In order to be enrolled in the project, they needed a confirmed diagnosis of asthma. Identifying children with asthma and maintaining the referral stream ended up taking more time than anticipated. Fortunately, the public health agencies already had well-established relationships with the local medical providers, school nurses, and others for which to build upon. This is just one of the flyers that Bloomington, Edina, Richfield Public Health used. In terms of the main components of the home visit, there were five components. The visits were conducted. There was an initial assessment and 3- and 6-month follow-up visits. The first component was assessment of the health status of the child, and this included reviewing system their symptoms, looking to find out whether they were in control with asthma. And it also, they had a tool that talked about a functional asthma plan. I'm going to talk more about that in a minute. The second component was the assessment of the home environment, and that was to identify the potential asthma triggers, looking for mold, evidence of mice, food on the counter, things like that. The third component was education and counseling of the child with asthma and their family, and this was on the disease itself, proper medical management, use of the asthma action plan, self-management skills, environmental triggers of asthma. The fourth for this project was to provide the family with child-specific allergen-reducing supplies or products. And the fifth was care coordination, including social service and housing referrals as needed to address the many needs of low-income women. We did have a data collection tool that was used for evaluation purposes. IRB status was exempt status was granted from the Minnesota Department of Health because this tool had been used before in other studies. All program participants, however, did have to provide informed consent. Part of this form, we used the ITG Child Asthma Short Form, Health-Related Quality of Life Instrument for Children. It's a 10-question validated instrument measuring the impact of asthma symptoms on a child's life. And the score of the instrument results in 3 scores related to daytime symptoms, nighttime symptoms, and functional limitations. It is a proprietary tool, and we did get permission from the authors to use it. This is just the top part of the form, so you can see there's a lot of questions about a lot of different things in it. We looked at self-reported number of hospitalizations, ED visits, unscheduled office visits, school absences, urgent care visits for each child in the home. We also used the asthma control test that was administered to look at control of the patient. They also collected information on allergies and patient triggers. The functional asthma plan is a concept that was developed by Kay Kufall, who was the woman in the earlier picture, who's the RT from our first project. And when she first started going into the home, she discovered that it wasn't enough just to say, do you have an asthma action plan? Because people say yes, but that doesn't really mean anything. So having a written asthma action plan is necessary, but not sufficient for patient education tool. It needs to be available, and it needs to be understandable. So instead of just asking, do you have an asthma action plan, you want to know if it's, available, current, and understandable. If she asked if they had a plan and was determined in the affirmative, then she asked the patient or caregiver if it was issued in the prior 12 months prior, so whether it was current. If the medications appearing on the asthma action plan matched the medications in the home, so they had to go find their medications. A lot of times they didn't match at all, and they had them reversed, the controller and the reliever for it. And they would ask the child if it was age appropriate, otherwise they'd ask the parents. Then they ask them to read through it and repeat back the actions as described on the plan, which is the comprehension. For our small sample, it turned out that 76% didn't have an asthma action plan, and 5% had it, but the medications didn't match those that were available in the home. So that's why that's a really important concept. In terms of low-cost products, consumer products, they were tailored to the child's asthma triggers and family needs, but generally focused on the child's bedroom because they spend a lot of time in the sleeping area, because what the public health nurses discovered is they don't always have a bedroom that they sleep in. And it also changes from day to day. They could be sleeping in the bedroom one night, in the living room the next night, in the parents' room the next night. So we really tried to focus on the wherever they slept most of the time. Bed and pillow encasements were provided for 35 families. A HEPA vacuum cleaner was provided to 33 families. And what they had found is that a lot of people, because the parents were so concerned about their kids, they wanted to help, they'd be sweeping carpets to try to get the dust up. And a lot of them had never had a vacuum cleaner before. A high-efficiency particulate air cleaner was provided to 35 families. And anecdotally, that was the one the public health nurses thought they liked the best because it showed that they had clean air in the house. And the dehumidifier was provided for 10 families. Now, I recognize that some people might not consider these to be low-cost products, but we call them low-cost to distinguish it from structural modifications that might be made in the home. So they were low-cost in that sense. In reviewing the results of the analysis, you have to take in consideration several limitations. One, the sample size was really small. The N ended up being 37 that we got data on for everybody. The number of outcomes relative to the sample size available is large. The six-month follow-up period is short, and so that means if you have seasonal trends in the health services for asthma, we couldn't test that whether that affected it or not. And the reliance on self-recall for health service utilization without verification from medical records was difficult to do. So these were the results. So we ended up with 41 households, 35 primary, 5 secondary. 46 children were enrolled. The mean age was 7.9. This is from January 2008 to November 2009. About 17% were ages less than 1 to 2, 21%, 3 to 5. The rest were older through high school. Health service utilization related to asthma in the 3 months prior to the baseline visit was requested for all 46 children. The reported numbers are based on recall and were not validated by medical record review. The health service utilization declined during the 6 months period prior to the initial home assessment for all outcomes of interest. The results of statistical analysis for the 37 children that we could get the paired results on indicated statistically significant reductions in the number of emergency department visits due to asthma, unscheduled office visits, and the number of episodes of oral prednisone use. The numbers of hospital admissions and urgent care visits, while reduced, were not statistically significant. And the child asthma short form had declines in the burden on all three areas. In terms of return on investment, program costs were collected from purchasing and contractor invoices. The public health agency administrative costs were provided for 22 assessments and product delivery visits for 31 enrolled children. The average administrative cost per visit was $139. In terms of products delivered to the families of children with asthma, it was $489 was the average cost of the products, but the range went from $231 to $1,460. So some families, they might have bought pillow encasements for more than one rooms because they were moving around sleeping there, or they might have had more than one child with asthma, or there might have been kids with two households. The total cost of the public health agency home assessment products per family was $504, with the average cost was $358. So if reductions in healthcare utilization reported for children enrolled in the project could be solely attributed to the program, the return on investment would be $5.25 for each dollar spent on the initial program. When we move on to lessons learned, what we learned is that the provision of in-home asthma education, environmental assessment of the home, and low-cost product interventions are essential program components. With asthma-specific training, we know that public health nurses serving suburban and rural communities can obtain successful outcomes. We also learned that it is important to include the concept of the functional asthma action plan as part of the home visit, because that's really incorporated into the education. It's important that the nurses share the information with the client's provider so you connect that loop back and forth, and to do the fax referral for tobacco users that are interested in quitting smoking. Again, to focus on the child's sleeping area. And we also found out it's really important to follow a formalized evaluation plan and reinforce the evaluation to make sure that you do get your data collected. For local public health agencies, we recommend that they encourage their staff to be trained to conduct asthma home visits and use the Omaha System Individual Asthma Pathway to document client improvements. Oops, did I miss one here? Well, there was a picture of the Omaha Pathway in here that's not coming up. And Dr. Karen Munson, who's sitting here, worked with me on developing the Omaha Pathway. And what the evaluation really suggests is that we have a more standardized visit, such as outlined in the pathway, for people to follow when they're doing the home visits as a way to do that. Okay. Oh, here's the pathway. Okay. One of the other recommendations was that we develop a training for people to be trained in the environmental assessment in the home. And this is a training that the Minnesota Department of Health developed that's online. It's about 25 to 30 minutes that talks to people about how to do the assessments in the home. The people we worked with did say, though, that it's essential to have that on the house, in the home, training to go along with this, that just having a training like this isn't enough. We also thought about policy implications for delivery of this program, and we really encourage healthcare programs, which are governmental programs, to reimburse public health nurses for home visits to children with uncontrolled asthma and make sure the reimbursement is adequate to cover the cost of them doing it. And we're a health plan-driven state, and we encourage them to include the home visits as part of their disease management programs, of course, preferably with public health nurses, but a lot of them are using home care agencies to do that. And that you need specialized training to assure that qualified staff are available to implement the program statewide. And again, the relationship between tobacco smoke and asthma should be included as part of the home visit. And the action steps to control the presence of allergens inside the home is a primary consideration. And this is, you can download the PowerPoint online so it has, you can get the websites and everything else. All agency representatives indicated that they believed that the program had made a huge difference, and really the goal was improving the lives of children with asthma and their families. I also want to acknowledge my co-author, Dr. Angie Carlson, and she's the program evaluator on this project. Laura Oatman was the former environmental scientist with our program that came up with the idea for it. Kay Kufal, the respiratory therapist, is the one that came up with the idea of applying for funding to cover the products, which aren't usually covered, and we've actually been working with our Medicaid to see if we can get them covered as a DME for people to use. And our three partners for this, which was Bloomington Department of Health, McLeod County Public Health, and Boys Fort Reservation. And I just wanted to end really quickly with one of the public health nurses said about the project. One of our clients is a 29-year-old mother with five children, ages 11 months to 11 years. The four eldest children have asthma. When I met her, none of the children had asthma under control. The client was non-compliant with medication management because she thought Pulmicort was to rescue medication. In addition, she had only one nebulizer to share among children. She was unable to locate asthma meds during the visit, and the children had no asthma action plans. Due to family circumstances, the client was not available at the three-month follow-up. At 6 months, follow-up visit, the client verbalized her satisfaction with the program. She had medical consults for each of her children and clarified medications. She obtained asthma action plans, had a nebulizer for each child. The child had not missed school. Consequently, the woman had not had to take time off for illnesses. So I think that just really demonstrates that there is a success to this project, and besides, our goal was really to demonstrate that public health nurses could do it, but shows that it really improves people's lives too. Thanks. Here's my contact.